This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
All of us have got a life, and our life has got a past, it has got a present, and it has got a future. And our past is just becoming bigger as what we go with time, and we're getting more reputation, we are getting more known. We are maybe building up a certain status. Certain people even have got other people writing books over them, so they're getting very important. That is now where we're talking about the past. The present, yeah, that is where we are in moving at the moment. For some people, they measure it in seconds, some in minutes, some in years. And others, they measure it in seasons, which is a little bit different. And then the future, what we've got on earth is just getting smaller and smaller. And that's basically what all of us are living in. If we're speaking to the people around us, at work, at university, in the street, all of us are living in that we are having a past which is getting bigger, we're living in the present, and the future is getting smaller. But in our spiritual life, there is no past. Our past actually disappears, because we are only interested in the future. We're not interested in what happened before us. The present is where we're continuously busy looking forward to the future. So the future and the present actually becomes one. There's no past. And to explain it a little bit, how that you actually haven't got a past, I'm just going to tell you a short story, and it tells that a baby hasn't got a past, it only has got a future. It was a medical doctor who was ill, and he was in a hospital for terminal ill people, so it was going to be a matter of time and he would pass away. And a believer came to him, and a believer continuously tried to explain the gospel to him and was talking about sin, and he was talking about repentance, and he was talking about Adam and Eve and what is done, and all of them are received in sin, and he must get baptized, and he must believe and all these type of things, and heaven and eternity. But that medical doctor couldn't understand whatsoever. And then the believer used a terminology which was understandable for the medical doctor, because it happens in the medical field. And he says, when you are reborn, when you are born again, you haven't got a past. You only have got a future. And then the doctor could click, because that's with a baby exactly the same. A baby hasn't got a past. It only has got a future. And this is where we in our spiritual life are exactly the same. We only have got a future. We haven't got a past. All of us are very interested in our future. We all want to know where are we going to. We're involved with it. We're planning. Some of us are still studying. Others are a little bit more further in the line. They already finished studying, and they already completed that period in their lives. But we are busy with our future. We want to know where are we going, what is happening, and what are we doing. And this afternoon, I just want to talk about two conversations which Jesus had with two people, or with two people at two different times. The one was with Nicodemus, when he was talking about getting reborn. And then the other is about the Jewish people, that he was talking to them and he said, I am the shepherd, and you are the sheep, you are my flock. And both of them, it was about the future of what God wants to give to us. In John 3, verses 1, we can read, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, this Nicodemus must have been a wealthy man because he was a ruler with the Jewish people. He must have been educated as well. Because he was a teacher. So he was teaching the other people about what was actually happening and what all the rules and regulations were. He must have been a little bit older as well, because you're not getting quickly into such a position that you're a teacher or that you're a ruler. So this, let's call it a little bit difficult to say elderly man, but let's say a man who's a little bit of age, he comes at night and he goes and he's seeking for the attention of Jesus. And then he starts speaking to him. But then he says, "We." So he's not coming on his own capacity. He's talking about we. So he's talking on behalf of some other people who are thinking the same, who are maybe also afraid of coming to him, and that he was prepared to go. So he's coming. We know that you are a teacher. Now, he himself is a teacher. He has been educated, so he must probably had a degree or two or three against his wall if you came into his office. Jesus was also a teacher, but without any degree. It was God given, God downloaded. That's how he was. And then Nicodemus starts with we. And then if we take a look at the reply what Jesus is giving to him, and he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again." So Jesus is not replying to "if you," and then in plural. No, he's going directly into the heart of Nicodemus. You must be reborn again. Short and sweet. It's not a long story. It's not talking about what all happened and what has got to be done. Very short answer what we got from Jesus over here. And to be reborn again is a terminology which, yeah, for us, it's actually strange. For Nicodemus, it was strange as well. If we've got a church and the church says, they're the church of the living water, or they are the church of the light of Christ or whatever, it's acceptable if you are a member of such a type of church. But if you now say, I'm a member of the church for the reborn, then I think the people in the street or your people where you're working with, they will just lift their eyebrow and say, "But where are you talking about now?" Because reborn is a terminology which is difficult for us to understand. Nicodemus had exactly the same problem. He also couldn't understand it, and he couldn't really grasp what Jesus was saying to him over there. That's also what he's asking him. How can a man be born when he is old? So he must have been old. Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and this which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell when it comes, where it comes from and where it goes. So everyone who is born of the Spirit." Where he started and said we, he now comes and he says, "But how can I be born again?" And Jesus replies and he says he's got to be born out of the water and the Spirit. I do not want to elaborate on it, but it was a type of saying which wasn't unknown to Nicodemus, because it's also in Ezekiel 36 and 37. So he was referring to a part which was not unknown to Nicodemus about the water and the Spirit over there. And then Nicodemus answers again and said, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and you do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak that we, what we know, and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. I have told you earthly things, and you do not believe. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, and that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And then a well-known verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal, have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him may be saved. How can these things be? This is all that Nicodemus had to say. In the beginning, he came with a long story. The teacher, his words dried up. And Jesus, in the beginning, just one sentence. So on the one side, the well-famous Nicodemus teacher, his words became less, and Jesus' words to him became more and more. So the teacher was teaching the teacher over there. But it was for Nicodemus very difficult to understand that he had to be reborn again, that was possible. And if we take a look at this conversation what Jesus had with Nicodemus, and I heard it in a sermon from Tim Keller, and it actually made sense to me. If a baby is born, the baby, him or herself, is actually doing nothing. The one who's carrying all the pain, all the discomfort, all the frustrations, and I'm a father, but it's still my wife who's carried all the babies, and she had to carry all that discomfort. But there's such a lot of things what a mother has got to go through before a baby can be born. Even bleeding. The baby is coming, but it's the mother who is suffering. With Jesus, we've got exactly the same. It was Jesus who suffered. He was on the cross. He even bled on the cross. And through that, we are reborn. And that's an awesome explanation for me as well, to see that through that we are reborn again. And we go, and we've got only a future. We don't hear anything from Nicodemus again after that specific conversation, and I'm talking about he didn't reply on Jesus anymore. I think he got his words and he left at night. And as Jesus was referring to the wind, there must have been most probably also been a wind blowing outside, so that Jesus was referring to that. But a little bit later, after Jesus' death, we see Nicodemus surfacing again. And that is in John 19. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him the permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. And they took the body of Jesus and bound it in stripes of linen and spices, as the customs of the Jews is to bury. There he surfaced. He was prepared, as an old man, to help for Joseph, to take the body from the cross, to put it in linen, and to put it away. It wasn't a task for male people to do. It was a task for the female people to do. Because who were the first who came on Sunday morning? Was the females. They went over there to do what they actually had to do, but they couldn't do it. It was Joseph and Nicodemus, those two did it. He was prepared. That what he learned from Jesus, to do something back for what Jesus is concerned. The next conversation is where Jesus is talking to people, most probably Jewish people around him. It was just after that he healed a person on a Sabbath in the temple, and of course the Jews didn't like it. And then the Jewish people sent the one who was healed, they cast them out of the temple. And then Jesus started speaking to him. And then it goes basically from the one chapter to the other. And then Jesus is saying then, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and call his own sheep by name, and lead them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. Jesus used the illustration, but they did not understand. They did not understand the thing which he was speaking to them. So Jesus is explaining now what he's doing with the sheep and the shepherds, but it was a little bit too high for them, a little bit too complicated. They couldn't understand it. In our ways, we maybe would say, leave it. I'm not going to spend more time with them. If they do not understand it, I'm going to leave it. I'm going to walk away, and I'm going to see if I can find some other people who maybe understand this type of message, because for us it is reasonable, clear. But the people at that time, they didn't understand it. But then Jesus is taking the same example again, but puts out other words in it to lift it a little bit more, that there's more content in it. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I've come that they may have life, and that they may have it abundantly, more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd, and a good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling he is who is not a shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and the flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down for myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I receive from my Father. Therefore there was a division again among the Jewish because of these saying. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? And others said, these are not the words of one who has got a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? The blind which he healed again just before that. There's such a lot of content in this part, and I'm just going to lift a few things out of it. If we can actually imagine, and I forgot to take a picture of it, that you've got a wall with one door in it, and that's where the sheep are going in. And Jesus said, I'm the door. And in that area, we are covered, because we know that Jesus is the shepherd. He's looking after us. We go in to that covered area through him, and then we are safe. He's warning. He's saying over there, there's a thief who wants to come to rob. He wants to come over there to steal. He wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. And we know the enemy is doing that. The enemy wants to come in and wants to steal. He wants to steal that we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. The enemy wants to steal it continuously, each and every day. We've got people who will say, you're mad. Where are you believing in? Prove me Jesus, then I'll believe in you. We get so many type of that people are saying that to you. But we're not going to let that is going to be stolen from us. He wants to kill that it is dead, that it doesn't have any value in us anymore. He also wants to destroy it. To destroy is not meaning that he's just going to hurt it, but destroying is totally destroying, that nothing is left anymore. This is what the enemy is trying to do. And he's trying to get into it, the enemy. He's trying to look for, let's call it, open doors. Now, in our spiritual life, we've got sometimes of those open doors. Could have been something which happened in our own life. It could have been that it happened in our ancestors' life. And then the enemy can come in. And then he can come into that covered area. And he can steal and destroy and kill in our lives. But we've got the authority to send then the demon out, the thief and say, no place for you after we've repented. This we're going to do as well with the deliverance course. Because with the deliverance course as well, whatever the enemy is trying to steal from you, whatever the enemy is trying to, to put you on non-active, that you're not doing anything, with the deliverance part, we have a look at it, we cancel it, that you can be what God wants you to be, and that you're not going to be sitting because you unfortunately have got this or that or that. We can attack it, we can sort it out, we can send it away. Jesus is saying over there, I am the good shepherd. If we look in the Greek, a shepherd means also a pastor. So apparently I'm then also a shepherd over here. So which means I also have got a responsibility, but I also have got authority over you, which is very important. Then at a certain time, Jesus is saying something to the people over there. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. He knows them, and those people know him. But if we read the next part where he compares it with, and he says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So he's comparing that relationship that he's got with us with the relationship that he's got with the Father. And that's precious. That's really valuable. So much that Jesus knows us is what he knows the Father. Then he also says, I've got power. I've the power to lay it down and I've got the power to take it up again. The command I received from my Father. This is in our life exactly the same. We've got authorities. The enemy is afraid that we are using those authorities, because those authorities, we can send the enemy away. And those authorities we've got to use, because God gave us that commandment. We've got to tell people about the gospel. We've got to heal people. We can do that. We can put the hands on it and we can pray for it. And we can send out demons as well. If you take a look at the book of Mark, how many times is it that bringing the gospel and sending out demons, it's mentioned in the same verse? But how many churches do we hear about sending out demons? About thieves who are coming to steal and to destroy and to kill. But we can act against them and we can send them away. We've got that authority. There's one verse what I still would like to just lift out of it as well. That's verse 16, John 10:16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is talking to the Jewish people, but he's saying over there are other people. And if I take a look over here, we can see people from all over the planet. And this is where God is, where Jesus is referring to. It's not only to the Jewish people, but it's for everyone. The gospel is for everyone. He died for everyone. He gave his life for everyone. It's not limited to only a few people, but it's for everyone. And then he says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. He's got to bring them in as well. This verse was very important for David Livingstone. Maybe you can show the next picture, Eunice. It's the tombstone of David Livingstone, which is in England. When he died in Africa, the people where he was staying, they took out his heart and they buried it underneath the tree. But the body, they sent to England. And then just show the next one, the next verse of the next clip. And there we can see it. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. This was the driving force behind David Livingstone to bring the gospel to Africa. And this verse has been for other people as well. has been a driving force to bring it to other people, because we've got to bring it to other people. It cannot be only for us. Coming back again to the sheep, if we've got that area which is walled all around, and we're staying inside, we are safe. Not much is happening. But if we're hearing God's voice, and if we're listening God's voice, and if we follow him, we go out. It also says over there, going in and out. We go out and we follow. And then we can start doing things, what God wants us to do. Then we can do the commandments, what we've got to do. Then we will also get the authority, what we've got to do. And then we can do what God wants us to do. I didn't know those testimonies and those words which you got before, but that's basically joining up with that. We cannot sit and have church over here just on a Sunday, and in a week nothing is happening. God has given us that commandment. We've got to go out. We've got to tell other people. We've got to pray for other people. If they are sick, let's put our hands on it and that they get healed. We've got to send demons out. And if you say, I don't know much about it, please come. Come in December. Spend time. And if that's something which you would like to get involved in as well, please, we will welcome you. The more people are involved, the better it is. And I don't mind if we are going to be known as the church who's going to send out demons in Utrecht. I don't mind, because it's scriptural. We've got the authority, let's do it. And if people are going to be freed, if they're going to be, the shackles, if they're going to be taken off, and they can do what God wants them to do, they can be what God wants them to be, and they can hear God's plan, then God's kingdom can be built. But if the enemy has managed it to steal it, and those people are passive, then nothing is going to happen. Then we're just going to enter here on a Sunday, we have some nice coffee and tea, we smile for each other, and we go out. But that's not. So yes, for those who are visiting and those who are here for a shorter period, we're not a church who's just a gathering on a Sunday. But we would like to equip you that something can be done in Utrecht or in a place where you go back to. And that's why we've got those courses like you've seen as well. And please come, try to attend those courses that we can equip you, that you can go back. Because God has got a plan for us. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we've got a future. We've got a future with you, and we only have got a future. We're not folding back on things which happened in the past, which gave us a certain status or a certain reputation, but we're looking forward, Father, to be with you forever and ever. And we're also looking forward that we can do what you want us to do, Father. The instructions which you're giving us, that we can hear your voice, is what the sheep are following the shepherd, because they can hear his voice, they can recognize his voice between strangers, and they can follow that voice. And Father, I pray that you're going to speak into our lives as a shepherd, as a good shepherd, and that we can follow you, and that we can do what you want us to do. And as all eyes are closed at the moment, if you may be here today and you say, you're talking a little bit too fast, I'm still at that place where I still have got to be reborn, I'm still one who's very involved in my past or my reputation and what I've already gained in my life and the things I've done wrong, Jesus died at the cross so that you can forget about your past, that you only can have a future. And if you now in your life that you say, but I've never taken that decision, then I'm asking you, if you want to take that decision this afternoon, if the Holy Spirit is stirring you this afternoon and says, yes, you've got to make that decision, you've got to get reborn today, I'm inviting you to put up your hand now. If you're already reborn, and you only have got a future, an awesome future with God, and you only want to do what God wants you to do, then I'm going to invite you that Yolandi maybe can play for the next minute. Speak to God and ask God, Father, use me. We've done it last week Sunday at small group, and I'm going to ask to do it again. Ask God where you would like to be used in God's kingdom. If you say, but I would like to be used for putting up hands on people that they can be healed. I would like to be used for sending out demons. I would like to be used that the gifts of the Holy Spirit can flow through me, specifically speaking in tongues and interpreting, or the discerning of spirits, or whatever it is, or one of those. Speak to God about it. And make that type of commitment, I nearly want to say, that you say, Lord, I'm asking you that you're going to make me more bold, that I can step forward and share the gospel or heal people or send demons out, or that the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow through me. Speak to God. And then afterwards I'm going to ask that you're going to confirm it. And if you feel God is putting something on your heart, you feel you've got to bring something to God that you say, but this is where I would like to be used for in the church, in the kingdom of God, for those who have not been reached yet. And I'm asking you to come forward, that we can pray in agreement with you, that we can anoint you, and then together with you, that we can be excited about it, what God wants to do to us. He's given us already the commandment, the great commandment, go and tell the message. He's giving us the authority as well. Jesus is our example. He's got the authority. We've got the authority as well. But that we're not going to remain the rest of our spiritual life sitting in a chair. But that we're going to stand up. And that we're going to become active. Active for God's kingdom.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.